The only upside of this is that I can, since I stand at the toilet for 15, 20 minutes, I know the brand of every toilet maker in America. And I develop word games. Alan does the same sort of thing. Word games. I can make more words out of the words American Standard than anybody. The downside is it hurts, but I got something out of that too. I wrote a play called The Penis Monologue. Which, like a Beckett play, consists of one word, help. Anyway, I was told not to work out after this procedure, and of course I did, and I went for a run and on a highway, and then when there was a road bisecting the highway, and I saw a white convertible coming into the highway, and I thought, wildly, I thought the car would stop because there's a stop sign and a line. Anyway, the next thing I know, I'm about 10 feet in the air, and I land flat on my ass. I was not unconscious or anything. The event was a lawyer's dream, because I went up to the guy who was terrified. He was much worse shaped than I, the driver. And he said, "I'm sorry I hit you. I was looking at the girl on the bike." Which made me, of course, look for the girl on the bike as well. But I thought, what lawyer would not want to hear this? Any case, I would get the information, and I saw by the name on the license that he was of Arabic descent, an Arab, and he had a Jew, so I thought, can't we just be friends? I went one better. He hit the only person in Long Island, perhaps in America, who would not be inclined to sue him. So he was so happy. He went back to Arabia and told all the other Arabs how wonderful the Jews are. And I returned to my native Judea and told them the same thing about all the Arabs. And that is how my prostate brought peace to the Middle East.
I don't even have a story about my pupik.
We'll get to that. Now to Alan and his wonderful book. This book, which some of you know because it's a bestseller already, and some of you will have the pleasure of knowing, builds ideas around speeches, stories that preceded the speeches that led to them, and the ideas within the speeches that Alan's made over a long and wonderful career. So I wanted to ask first, it's an oddity. Speech is ephemeral. In the form that it's given, people notoriously hear speeches, hardly remember what's going on in speeches. When they become print, when you write them, that's something else. But at the moment that you give a speech, it's in the air, and you hope some words get through, but you can't count on it. So why is talk important? Why is giving a speech useful?
It actually isn't.
Would you like to hear what I did this summer?
I just heard that.
Oh.
It's interesting. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why I was so scared whenever people would ask me to talk. I did get asked to talk at a lot of places where I had no business being. And that made me scared. I mean, for instance, I like being scared, for one thing. It makes me feel a little more alive. And then if I can deliver the goods, I feel like $1 million. But I was asked, soon after MASH got popular, I was asked to talk at the commencement at the College of Physicians and Surgeons. And I actually tried to turn it down, but we had a young friend who was graduating, and I didn't want to disappoint her. But I was really frightened that people would think that because I played a doctor, I knew something about medicine. And I said to the class when I got there, I said, you know, maybe they taught you everything they could about medicine, how to be a doctor, and you decided to bring somebody in who could teach you how to act like one. And then I realized that I actually could, if I approached this and other places that scared me, if I could approach them with something personal, from a personal perspective, I could maybe deliver. And in that case, I realized I actually was an expert in one field of medicine, which was as a patient. So I implored them to treat me.